Buffalo, and you're listening to WGXZ 90.7 FM Acre. Don't let the crash and crash and crash.
Thank you. those of you listening sometime other than tonight, you are probably listening to a recording. You are probably listening in my future, and I may be speaking to you from your past. But if you are listening tonight, on my tonight, from right now, then I am coming to you live from a truck deep in the mountain wilderness. Let's take a listen to some of that wilderness right now. From the DIY parabolic trash can microphone sitting outside the truck. Listen to that nightlife out there. Crickets. Ready? Here we go. This is the Anacro Techno Fetish Show Redux. And tonight's episode is all about the sewing machine.
Fuß, Nadel, Tabelle.
Chicks on Speed with Sewing Machine. Chicks on Speed is a performance art group, feminist music and performance art group that formed in Germany in 1997, comprised of Australian Alex Murray Leslie and American Melissa Logan. We opened up the top of the hour with a piece by Civi, a Winnipeg experimental improv trio playing the bassoon, the cello, and the loom. We'll hear a bit more from them later. But right now, you're listening to the Anacro Techno Fetish Show Redux, and tonight's episode is all about textile machines, ranging from sewing to knitting to weaving. Well, I've mixed up the order. It's actually more, we're going to go from knitting to weaving to sewing, possibly to things made with those technologies. Each episode of the Anacro Techno Fetish Show centers around a machine that was invented at least 100 years ago and is still in use today. Anachrotechnofetishism is a term given to people who fetishize anachronistic technologies, and it's often associated with the steampunk movement. But in this case, it's used to revere centuries-old technologies that are still in use today, asserting that newer is not always better. So much of our everyday life is still influenced by, perhaps even dependent on, technologies that have changed very little in the last 100 years. And so I'm interested in taking a look at some of those machines, how they work, how they came about, and what we can do with them. Tonight's episode is all about sewing machines, knitting machines, looms, and textiles. The mechanization of textiles played a huge role in the Industrial Revolution. Before the sewing machine, we had looms and knitting machines to make the fabrics that we would later sew. And if we want to trace the roots of mechanized textile work, we actually have to go back several centuries to the stocking frame or the knitting machine that was invented in 1589. There are many different types of knitting. You may knit yourself. You may have friends or family members who like to knit and purl. When a machine does the knitting, it's much more uniform than a human. I myself am not very good at knitting. I try to own my accidental purls where I should have knit and knits where I should have purl, and I call it post-apocalyptic knitwear and claim it all as intentional, but really I'm just not very good at keeping track of how many overs and unders of the loops I've made. But coming back to the machines, there are many different types of knitting, and tricot is one type. Tricot is a type of warp knitting, and it's quite resistant to runs, and it's often used in lingerie. I mentioned tricot because up next I'm going to play you a track by a band from Trois-Rivières, Quebec, called Tricot Machine, and this is Tricot Machine with their song titled Tricot Machine from their album titled, you guessed it, Tricot Machine.
Savez-vous tricoter? À vos aiguilles.
Mentioned that One of the things I do in the Anacro Techno Fetish show is I pick music made either about these machines or made with these machines. And on the topic of tricot and knitting, there are several things that we make when knitting. And one of the things we can knit is sweaters. And when it comes to songs about sweaters, Maren Cadell's 1992 pop hit comes to mind. Maren Cadell is an American-Canadian performance artist and writer. He's a professor at the University of British Columbia, I believe in the creative writing program. Maren is a transgender man who transitioned in 2003. However, most of his music was released between 1988 and 97 before he transitioned, so would have been identified differently at the time that this song was popular. For those of you familiar with pop music of that time, Weezer's song Sweater is actually a direct response to Maren Cadell's song, and the two songs were often played sequentially on college radio. So, without further ado, here is Maren Cadell with Sweater, or The Sweater, a lovely ode to teenage desire and conformity.
I know you will understand this and feel the intrinsic, incredible emotion. You have just pulled over your head the worn, warm sweater belonging to a boy. Now you haven't had a passionate kissing session or anything, but you got to go on a camping trip with him and 8 other people from school. And you practically slept together, your sleeping bag right next to his. And you woke in the night to watch him as he slept, but you couldn't see anything because it was dark, so you just lay there and listened to his breathing and wondered if your heart might burst. Has that slightly goat-like smell which all teenage boys possess, and that smell will lovingly transfer to all your other clothes. If you get to keep it for a few days, you can sleep with it, but don't let your mom see, because she'll say, what is that filthy thing, and who does it belong besides the trash man? So you have to keep it under the covers with you. You can kind of lie it beside you, or wrap it around your waist, or touch it on your legs, or whatever, but that's your business. Now, if the sweater has, like, reindeer on it, or is a funny color like yellow, I'm sorry, you can't get away with a sweater like that. Look for brown or gray or blue. Anything other than that, and you know you're dealing with someone who's different. And different is not what you're looking for. You're looking for those teenage alpine ski chiseled features and that sort of blank look which passes for deep thought, or at least the notion that someone's home. You're looking for the boy of your dreams who is the same boy in the dreams of all of your friends. Now the sweater isn't going to fit you, of course. You have to kind of roll up the sleeves in a jaunty way that says, this is the sweater belonging to a boy, and the boy is a genuine hunk, a hunk of burning love, and this is not just some hand-me-down from your brother or your father. Monday, wear the sweater to school. Be calm, look cute. Don't tell the dream you had about the place the two of you would share when you get older. Just be yourself. The best, cutest, quietest version of yourself. Definitely wear lip gloss. He looks at you, and he looks away, and then he walks away, and the smell of the sweater hits you again, suddenly like ape scent gloriola, and you get a note passed to you by a girl in history that says he needs his sweater back. He forgot that you put it on in the tent on Saturday, and he's been looking for it. And you don't have to die of humiliation, you know. You are a strong person, and this is a learning experience. You can still hold your head up high as you run from the classroom, tearing the stinking sweater from your body. You look at that sweater carefully, and you realize that love made you temporarily blind. You got a secret now, honey, and though you would never sink as low as him, you could blab it all over the school if you wanted. The label in that sweater said 100% acrylic.
Now, after knitting machines, we have the invention of the loom. The flying shuttle, an important part of the loom, was invented in 1733. And later on, we have the Jacquard loom, invented in 1803. Now, this one could be programmed with punch cards for more complex patterns. And while the loom has close ties to the future history of the Industrial Revolution and computer programming, I'm also interested in the mythological history of weaving and textiles. For instance, if we go all the way back to Greek mythology, we find Penelope. She was married to Odysseus, and while he was away fighting the Trojan War, she had 108 suitors that she did not want to marry. So to keep the men at bay, she told them all that she was weaving a burial shroud, and she would choose a partner once she finished weaving the shroud. And so in order to delay and to keep the men away, she would weave by day, and every night for 3 years she would unravel what she had done that day, so that she never finished the shroud. But of course she was doing that all by hand. And I kind of like that image of someone purposefully dragging things out by weaving by day and unraveling it every night. I don't know if I like that or not, actually, come to think of it. It seems tedious. Anyhow, to get back to the mechanized process, the loom. Earlier, the show opened with some experimental music, and I'm going to play you that entire piece now by an experimental improvisation trio from Winnipeg called Civi. On their 2017 album, Inheritance, they improvise with bassoon, cello, and weaving loom. They explore sonic possibilities of their instruments. They create arresting soundscapes which evoke the struggle of a natural world under the siege of progress. So this song is not necessarily about the loom, but it rather actually uses a loom as one of its musical instruments. So have a listen, and you will hear bassoon, cello, and loom. Here is a piece called Encroachment by Civi. And that was Civi with Encroachment from their album Inheritance. It was an improvisation for bassoon, cello, and weaving loom. But now let's move on to the sewing machine. The sewing machine takes fabrics that would have been made on a loom or a tricot machine or a knitting machine and, you guessed it, sews them together. The sewing machine first entered the home in the 1850s. Now, the key to making a sewing machine work is a type of stitch. Instead of trying to replicate the type of stitch that can be done with the human hand, the sewing machine creates other kinds of stitches. The most successful way of doing this is with two threads, one coming from the top and one coming from the bottom. So in order for you to kind of visualize this in your head, let's imagine we have a red thread on the top coming from the needle and a blue thread on the bottom coming from the bobbin. Now, another special thing about the sewing machine is the needle. The needle of a sewing machine is special in that the hole for the thread is at the pointed tip instead of at the blunt end. If you've ever tried to sew something by hand, you know that when you try to thread a needle, the hole is at the blunt end, away from the pointed part. But if you've ever threaded a sewing machine, you put the thread down at the pointed tip. And this is because when the needle punctures the fabric, if the thread is down at the pointed tip, it stays down below when the needle comes up and leaves a loop beneath. So the needle never has to leave the machine. The needle can stay stationary. Now, the next step, because just making a loop under the fabric isn't really enough, is to then connect that to another piece of thread, which is from the bobbin. So for the sake of explanation, let's imagine that that is a blue thread underneath. So we have a red thread coming from the top, from the needle, and a blue thread coming from the bottom underneath. Now, what's interesting about how we make this work is the fact that the basic mechanisms have remained pretty much the same and unchanged for over a century. The primary movements involve four distinct movements that are all connected. So first, you have the needle goes up and down. The second movement is a little arm that acts as a friction pulley to tighten the top thread so that it stays taut as it's going in and out. The third movement is passing the loop from the top red thread through the bobbin. The bobbin stays still, actually. The bobbin is a little spool of, in the case of our explanation, a little spool of blue thread. The bobbin stays still as this hook moves up around, grabs the red thread from above, keeps on circling, pulls it around the bobbin, and therefore, because it's pulled the red thread around the bobbin, it once it comes back around to the top, the red thread is released, and it is now around the blue thread. So what you've had happen there in that single movement, which is really quite elegant movement of this hook next to the bobbin that kind of circles the bobbin, it basically hooks into the top thread, pulls it around the bobbin, and then releases it. And then the friction arm keeps the thread tight as the needle comes back up. And the fourth movement is the little toothy metal plate at the bottom that moves the fabric forward. Otherwise, you would just be sending the same piece of thread up and down in the same spot, which is not very useful. Now, this moving the fabric forward is also a four-part movement. And this mechanism has some strong parallels with the pull-down claw in a film camera or film projector, as we will see in a future episode. Now, this movement is all done by a very simple mechanical system, cams and crankshafts. And what makes this movement special is we have four distinct movements. It goes, its little teeth grab the fabric, and it moves forward, pulling the fabric forward. So of course this is done when the needle is up and out. So the needle has gone down, the thread has wrapped around the bobbin, the needle pulls back up out, and the little toothy metal thing moves forward, pulling the fabric forward. Then it goes down, and then, so it releases the fabric, and it moves back while it's not attached to the fabric, because otherwise it would be moving the fabric. And then it comes back up and holds the fabric in place as the needle goes in again. So if you want to imagine in your head, we have the needle punctures the fabric, the needle goes in, the hook of the bobbin circles the bobbin, comes back around, releases the thread, the needle comes up, and then the little pressure plate foot goes forward, down, back, and up, and we repeat. So you have this constant forward, down, back, up, hold, forward, down, back, up, hold, forward, down, back, up, hold. And then the needle's going needle down, hook of the bobbin around, needle up, needle down, hook of the bobbin around, needle up. So when the needle is down, the thing holding the fabric in place is up and holding it steady. And when the needle is up and out, it goes forward, forward, down, back up. So needle down, bobbin around, needle up, forward, down, back up. Needle down, bobbin around, needle up, forward, down, back up. So it's this really complex coordination of movements. It's all managed with some very simple mechanics of cams and crankshafts, and it's incredibly elegant. That's my fascination with the sewing machine, because it has such a nice connection with the mechanics involved in the film camera. If you can hear an airplane going overhead or not, I've got the DIY parabolic trash can mic outside the truck, and I think we've got an airplane flying overhead over all the crickets. So up next is a piece of music written in 1888 by composed by Blind Tom Wiggins. The piece is called Sewing Machine Song. It's called Sewing Song, Imitation of a Sewing Machine. Now, Blind Tom Wiggins was an African-American piano prodigy who was quite famous at the turn of the century, but never saw any of his earnings because they all went to his owners, as he was still a slave when he died in 1908. His life story is incredibly elaborate and complicated, and I couldn't do it justice in a few words on the radio. So I encourage you to look him up, Blind Tom Wiggins. Much of his music was forgotten for a long while, and then John Davis, a classical pianist based in Brooklyn, recorded an album of Blind Tom's music to bring them to light again. So up next is Blind Tom Wiggins' composition. It's actually, we're going to hear John Davis performing Sewing Song, Imitation of a Sewing Machine, composed by Blind Tom Wiggins in 1888. Thank you. And that was John Davis playing Blind Tom Wiggins' Sewing Song, imitation of a sewing machine, composed in 1888, and the John Davis recording was made in 1999. Next up, let's enter the realm of electronic soundscape with Richard H. Kirk, an English musician who is a member of the 1970s industrial band Cabaret Voltaire, and who also had many, many, many solo projects and aliases. This next song is cryptically called Entering Valhalla Without a Laptop, But With an Umbrella, a Sewing Machine, and an Operating Table, Dig It. Yes, that's the whole title, even the dig it part at the end. There's actually parentheses. I'll say the parentheses this time. So the title of the song is Entering Valhalla Without a Laptop, parentheses, But With an Umbrella, a Sewing Machine, an operating table, Dig It, and parentheses. So here we have Richard H. Kirk, Entering Valhalla Without a Laptop, But With an Umbrella, a Sewing Machine, and an Operating Table. Dig It.
Resignation. coordinate resignation.
Selected in Argentina Monday morning.
And staying in the theme of, or in the realm of electronic music, I will leave you tonight with a track by Momus. Momus is the stage name of Nick Curry, a Scottish songwriter, blogger, and journalist, bringing us back into the realm of Greek mythology with this one, as Momus is the Greek god of mockery. Now, the musician Momus writes lyrics that make use of decontextualized fragments of French philosophy. So from his 2003 album, Oscar Tennis Champion, here is Momus with the Electrosexual Sewing Machine.
To the noise of the street, enters the house, darkness conceals. The electrosexual sewing machine. An eagle is wearing your clothes. Your foot has a shoe with six toes. The ghost of a girl with long black hair plays the koto as you go to sleep. It seems you were born some Czechoslovakian town. Your buttons were torn from a Habsburg Empire silk dressing gown, far away and a long time ago. Crimson and black in the snow, a spooky young man whose face was scarred mixed you up with the killer of flies. In a pitch black forest, 12 blind people are screaming in horror and fear for their guide. Maybe he died. Mechanization is taking command. All decorations been banned on the word of the ultra-sadistic popular front. A shrimp is made off with your shirt. You're naked in front of the court. They're reading from your biography. It's the bit where the character dies. In a pitch black forest, 12 blind people are screaming in horror and fear. Thank you. crying in horror and fear for the guy. Maybe he died. The electro sex, your sewing machine,
sewing machine, sewing machine, sewing machine. And this has been the Anacro Techno Fetish Show Redux. You're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7. And this broadcast came to you from the mobile M49 truck deep in the woods, surrounded by crickets. Thanks so much for tuning in, and have a great night.